had tremendous freedom yesterday. I mean, there is a freedom whenever you go out to talk about Jesus, but there was a tremendous freedom there yesterday. Yeah. And we've been praying that God would really save some people before we got there yesterday, and for healings, and those things came. But you know, while we were singing out, just the first kind of 5 minutes when we were up the front, we were worshiping the Lord in front of the bandstand, one of the girls came over to me. And she said, there's someone that's responded to what you said just now, because we said from the front, if you need healing, come to the bandstand and we'll pray for you. And I went across and spoke to this young Asian guy. He was 17 years of age, and his name is Priyesh. And we just started, and I said to the Lord, what do I do here? And the Lord said, don't worry, he's in my hands. So I just said to him, will you just stay here? Because it was very loud, and you can't just pray for people. You've got to talk to people and explain things to them before you pray for them, so that they really receive with faith. And so I said, would you just wait here? And so he did. He waited, and about 15 minutes later, we went into the bandstand and began to talk to him about the way of salvation. And what was it that you needed healing? And I said, have you got a heart condition? He said, no. He said, my heart, me, I need healing as a person. It's a tremendous response. And he said, I'm a Hindu, and so we have lots of gods. I said, you've got too many gods. I said, we have one God. And we just carefully went through the whole way of salvation and explained to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we got to the end, I said, do you believe what I've just said to you? And he said, yes. So you believe, and we went through the whole thing. Yes, Jesus died for my sins. He rose again. He went back to heaven, he's alive today, and we explained how to receive him into his life, how to ask for forgiveness. And he did all of that, he did that, he prayed. And then he said, there's such an emptiness inside. And he said, the first thing he said to me when I walked across to him before we went to the bandstand, he said, unless I see him and feel him, I won't believe. That was his confession. But you know, after we prayed, I explained to him the way of faith doesn't work like that. The way of faith doesn't wait till you've necessarily physically see him, although God does that sometimes. But I said to him, you believe first, step out in faith, and God will then come. Anyway, he stepped out in faith, and as we prayed for him, the power of God came upon him. And he didn't know what had touched him. And his eyes were like he was in a daze. He was in a daze, actually. The Holy Spirit came upon him. And he said, what was that? I said, that was Jesus. You asked for Jesus to make himself real to you. He's just come, answered your prayers, come into your life. And he was shocked. He was really shocked that he should actually experience and feel the presence of God. It was awesome. It was really awesome. So we exchanged numbers and names and different things. We'll be in touch with him this week. But it was so wonderful. And the word went out to so many people yesterday. And you know, when we have outreaches, every outreach is different. So we might even organize the same things, but God will do a different thing. And some of us were quite convicted that God was going to do something quite different yesterday, and he did. The way he did things was quite different, as June was saying. But the outcome was even better. Amen. Yesterday. And I just pray. You know, we go out every week. We go out in the daytime, usually on a Wednesday, Thursday. At the moment, we're going out Thursdays and Fridays. Fridays in East Grinstead. And I know others of you doing things as well in the week. But if you can get involved in reaching out to people, if you don't know how to do it, come and speak to one of us and just come alongside us, and you'll find that the anointing of talking to people and reaching people for Christ will come upon you to do it. It's just so exciting. Anyway, enough of that this morning. I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. I'm going to kick off where we started actually last Sunday evening. I was speaking at the joint Crawley churches have a meeting there at the Baptist Church, and I just wanted to kick us with this verse. I'm talking this morning about faith that works through love. That's the title this morning, Faith Working Through Love. And this is the motto really of Kingdom Faith. It's a scripture. It's Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, but let's look at Ephesians 3 first. And it says in verse 20, it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now let's just read that again. Now, you've heard this scripture probably a number of times in the church here, and we will never get tired of talking about this truth. To him, now to him, who? To God, to Jesus, to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit, to God, to him who is able to do exceedingly. What does the word exceedingly mean?
Totally.
Over and above, totally, exceedingly. What does abundantly mean?
Loads of.
Overflow. Above. What does that mean?
On top of.
On top of. Beyond. All that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I have this deep sense, it's this great sense that God is saying, I want you to know so much more about who I am. I want to do so much more than you realize. I'm about to do so much more than you've anticipated. And what God is going to bring the church into in these coming few years, over this next decade, is going to be absolutely extraordinary. And this would be a good verse to describe what God has planned. Because it says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I was just thinking this morning that in so many ways we're limited. And I started getting a little bit depressed about this, because I was thinking, you know, we're struggling as a church financially. We don't have quite enough money coming in, but we're praying out more because we've set some things by faith in motion. I was thinking that we need more workers in the children's work. I thought about a lot of things this morning about the church and about where we're at. And God says, they're your limits. Then I thought about my own life, and I start recognizing my own limitations. And God said to me, just be really encouraged, because it's because of your limitations that my limitless, we sang it in that song earlier, my limitless power is displayed. Amen. In my weakness, I find my greatest strength. When we're strong in ourselves, that's a bad thing, because we think that we're okay, we've got it, we're doing it. But when we realize our weakness, at that point, the strength of God comes through. And I'm just rejoicing this morning because God allows us to have need. Did you know that?
Yeah.
God actually allows us to have needs. Yeah. And the reason he allows us to have needs is so that he can supply.
Amen.
So if you've got needs this morning, rejoice that you've got some needs this morning. Because it just gives another opportunity for God to come and supply your need. If you've got limitations this morning, just rejoice this morning, because God has got no limits at all. He is absolutely limitless. He has so much abundance in heaven and in the Holy Spirit. And that it says that power actually is in the Holy Spirit, and that power is within you. That there is unlimited resources on the inside of you this morning. It's just that probably you haven't realized it. Maybe it's just I haven't quite realized how much I really have got inside of me. And God is wanting to encourage us today that whatever we need, God will supply. God has an abundance for us. And this is why the Word of God says here that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So I just want you just to close your eyes just for 1 minute. And I just want you to think, you probably won't have to think very long, about a need that you may have this morning. Or a need that you're aware of that somebody else has, that you're carrying as a burden before God. And just want you to say this scripture out loud. I want us to pray this scripture out loud. Whatever version you've got, just turn to it in your Bible. And if you haven't got a Bible, smack wrist for you. And I'm going to read this out, because this word, I want us to speak the word of God over some situation this morning. And we're just going to speak God's word over this. So release your faith as you do it. Just let's all go for it now. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And just begin to thank God this morning that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly in your situation, far above anything that you could ask or think. That's the supply. That's what God has. That's what God's going to do. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. God will supply and more so. I mean, he has abundance. And Father, this morning, we do speak abundance, Lord. This morning, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, Lord. We declare it, Lord, over these needs this morning, that you're the supplier of every need that we have. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you have a limitless resource for us. And we thank you, Father, that because we have needs, it's another opportunity for you to demonstrate your power and your unlimited resources, for you to come through. And we just praise you for this morning, Father. We speak your word, Lord, over these matters, that whenever we have a need, Lord, we look to you, Lord. You're the provider. You're the miracle worker. You're the healer. You're the deliverer. You're the restorer. You're the one that turns everything around and changes everything, Lord. And we praise you for this morning, Father. We thank you, Lord. You can do more than enough, Lord, for us. And we express our faith to you this morning, Lord Jesus. We rejoice in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you come with me to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, did that encourage you? I just got so encouraged, I thought, yeah, thank you, Lord, for the needs that we have. Instead of moaning about them and whining and complaining, not that I wasn't doing that, but, you know, it's so easy to get onto a negative track of thought, and then you focus on the need, and that's a big mistake. God says, focus on me and focus on my word, and your needs, God said, I'll take care of your needs. There's no problem there. And it says in Galatians 5 and verse 6, which is the scripture that we're using as our focus this morning. It says the second half of it is, I'll just read it. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision counts for anything. But faith, the thing that counts is faith working through love. Amen. Faith working through love. We're a people of faith working through love. I'll tell you what people saw yesterday in the town square. If they had their eyes open, they would have seen faith working through love. I saw it being demonstrated through you, those of you that were there yesterday. I saw faith working through love. And God is pleased with the life that we have when we're acting in faith. I mean, not acting, but, you know, releasing faith. But faith working through love. And God wants us to be a people who are living that way. And I'm going to read to you from the bulletin, because I don't know how many of you actually read this piece of paper that comes out once a month. But I'm going to read it to you anyway this morning, because I wrote here something that I don't just, I do pray about what to write on this, so that every month, this is a bi-monthly one actually, it's just got the information that you need for July and August. The greatest evidence of a biblical church is its love for the Lord Jesus, its love for one another, and its love for those to be saved. As the Lord continues to build us up into a spiritual house where he lives by the Holy Spirit, let's truly love in what we do, not just what we say. God's kind of love is demonstrated in Jesus. It's the greatest love there is, self-giving, self-denying, sacrificial, and devotional in its ability to love beyond the human kind of love. Spend time alone with the Lord and receive his fresh and overflowing love towards you. Ask the Holy Spirit to pour out and release the Father's love in and through you. Get ready for a wonderful season in the love of God. Faith works through his love. So believe, receive, and give out of his rich love in your praying and in all you do in his name during July and August and the rest of your lives. I have a vision of us as a church being a great growing community of love. Could someone give our sister a glass of water, and we'll take care of you. Make sure we don't want you to die in the service, so I want to bless you. A people who've been built together in faith and love, who are sharing their lives together in every practical and spiritual way. I see all the men employed, and some of them said amen. I see all the men employed and blessed in their work. Why? Because God called us as men to work. And to start their own some of them to start their own businesses. I see them being the leaders and examples in their homes, loving their wives and children. I see the women in the church being great wives and mums, loving their husbands with respect, and devoting themselves to their children, bringing them up in the ways of the Lord. I see some of our women being successful in business, others serving in the community, but the whole church prospering together. Faith working through love. Now, I haven't seen it all. I've seen a snapshot. And no doubt, some of you have seen some things I haven't seen. That's the whole point of being a body. I see a community whose homes are open. Meals and lives are shared together. Everyone a steward of what they own to bless and help others. That's why, for example, our car or our cars aren't our own. They belong to us. We're stewards. And where there's a need, they're available to be used. That's just one thing, isn't it? I see a great family with Jesus, the head of the house, walking among us and through adults, youth and children alike, healing the sick. Amen. Do you remember when Ian Andrews spoke at Faith Camp? And I mean, the anointing on him to heal the sick, it was just a word. It was just a laying on of the hands, sometimes not even a word. And God wants to bring us back to that simplicity. Amen. Where if you have the power within you, then actually one word will do. His name is Jesus. And the reason we take a bit longer is because we're actually trying to get ourselves often into a place of faith. Or we've got religious in what we do. I'm talking to myself as well here this morning. God's saying, make it simple. If you have it, then just release it. Stop dilly-dallying around. Put your hand on the person and just speak my name and release the power to heal. Tell them to be healed. Amen. And involve them in it. Get them into a place of faith as well. And just do it. Simplicity. Amen. Casting out demons. Simple. Jesus, it actually says that Jesus sometimes just pointed his finger like a gun. And the demons inside a person recognized who he was. And they came out because they couldn't stay in. And God wants us to come to a place where we have that kind of knowing of him, knowing the power that's within us, and therefore when we are confronted or when we confront situations where there's demonic activity, that those demons actually, we expose them and tell them to go. Amen. We cast them out in the name of Jesus. Raising the dead. I've done that over a couple of people and they remain dead. I'm just being honest with you. Because I long to see someone raised from the dead. In fact, I've laid hands on 3 dead people so far, and all of them were dead. But God has encouraged me. He said, I like your faith. I like your faith, and I will reward you for your faith. Because, and each on those 3 occasions, God spoke to me. That was the good thing for me, as I would have gone away very disappointed. God spoke to me on all 3 occasions. God wants us to raise people from the dead. There's something simple about the way Jesus did things. And I think most of the miracles, and we've said it before, weren't done on a platform, weren't done on a stage, there would certainly be crowds around because they were just pressing in on him. But these miracles were happening so many times, all of the time, miracle after miracle after miracle. And that's why John says at the end of John's Gospel, do you know, if we was to write down everything that Jesus did, there wouldn't be enough room in this world for all the books to write about what he said and what he did. You know, a fascinating thing about this Muslim guy, Muhammad, that we're praying for, he said to me the other day, I spoke to him this week, and he said he relayed some more of the information or revelation that he had out of this dream when Jesus revealed himself to him. And he said, do you know, the more I think about this dream, the more I relay the dream to you, I could write a book about it. What was he saying? He was saying that when Jesus comes, so much happens in a moment that you could write books about what happened when the revelation of Jesus comes. That's what he was talking about. God can say in one word, he can say 1,000 words. That's what he's like. When he looks into your life in a moment, he will often share with you maybe 1,000 things all at once, and you just can't take it all in. But the vastness of God's love and his greatness that's towards us is awesome. And he's living in us. I see a community, and I also see people working miracles, proclaiming the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. I see a community of a praying people behind closed doors, praying behind doors, and a life-giving, influencing people, changing the lives of multitudes outside in our towns, our villages, wherever we live, as they daily come to repentance and faith in Christ. This is faith working in love. Hallelujah. I'd forgotten I wrote all this. really, because I wrote this about 3 weeks ago, I forgot I actually included this scripture. So God obviously is speaking to us. This is faith working in love. Our purpose is to know Christ, make him known. What do you see? What do you see? And if you see things in God about the church, things that God is doing, things that God is about to do, things that God wants to do, then speak about them with others. Come and tell me about them as well, so that we're sharing together what we are seeing. Because that's how faith works. Faith sees something in the spirit first, and then we pray it into being. We begin to activate our faith, faith working through love. Come with me, please, I'm going to go back into the Old Testament. Is that okay? Leviticus chapter 26. Do you all know where Leviticus is? Leviticus is the third book in the Old Testament. I don't know when you last read Leviticus. It was a little while ago since I read the book of Leviticus. But it's a great book, full of truth. And I'm going to read you at verse 1. Did not say the chapter? 26. 26. 26 and verse 1. And it's talking about the blessings that God has for us in God. And this was talking to an old part of the old covenant. They were under laws and different laws and things that we are no longer under in quite the same way. But listen to this. You shall not make idols for yourselves. Neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it. For I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Talking about the temple and the Sabbaths which they used to keep. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. It's talking about fruitfulness. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. These are promises in the Word of God that if you dare to, you can pull out of the scripture and make them your own. I mean, because these are truths that we can pray over our land and over our families and over the church, over people. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. You will chase your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. Talking about God's word, falling before God's word. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Wow. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. For I will look on you favorably. God is saying this to us as a body this morning, as a household of faith. I look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new.
Amen.
Torsten got it. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul will not hate you or abhor you. I will walk among you. This is getting really good now. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. And then, I'm not going to read the rest now. That's a whole other preach. But then, this is for your homework. You can read the rest of the chapter and get thoroughly depressed, because it then talks about all the curses that come upon us when we do not obey the Lord, when we don't follow him and do the things that his word says. And if you read it through, you'll understand why Israel has been through what Israel has been through. And because Israel basically disobeyed the Lord so many times that they brought themselves under their own judgment, under the judgment of God. But God still has a plan for Israel. Amen. But when you read the whole of the chapter, please read those first 14 verses and get yourself back into faith again. Because God is talking to us this morning about walking in the blessing, walking in faith, walking in his favor. He's talking about harvest. He's talking about the fact that he wants to walk amongst us as a people. Now come with me, because The equivalent of these verses in the New Testament is in Acts chapter 2. And I'd like us just to go to Acts chapter 2, and you'll say, probably say to me, do you know how many times you've read this scripture this year? And I'll say to you, I've lost count. Yeah, I've lost count how many times I've read this scripture. Because God is speaking this word to us as his people. Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to read this out of the Truth, the New Testament version that Pastor Colin has written. And we'll read at verse 37. These words were like an arrow to the heart of the people. And they said to Peter and the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter was preaching in the town square in Crawley. Okay, everyone had gathered there. And there were thousands of people who had seen this amazing thing. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon 120 people in the church at Maidenbower. Okay, we were all full of the Spirit and began to spill out on the streets. And some said we were drunk. Some said that we were out of our minds. Some said we were a little bit too happy. Some said we were happy clappy. Some said we were religious. They called us all kinds of names, but they recognized that something powerful was happening. And all of the different people groups there in the town centre that don't speak English began to hear in their own languages us speaking in other tongues.
Wow. Amen.
Hearing in their own language who Jesus is. Amen. I believe that God wants to do that because we have so many people living in Crawley alone that don't speak English. So why don't we believe God that he'll speak to them through us when we speak in another language, that God will give us their language to speak in. He did it on the day of Pentecost and he's done it plenty of times since. And he can do it today. And Peter answered them, and when they said, brothers, what should we do? He answered, he said, all of you need to repent and be baptized. You need to turn to God and be immersed to show you've been purified from all your sins, made new and made one with Jesus Christ. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, who will come to live in you. And that's exactly what happened to Priyesh yesterday. The Holy Spirit immediately came and filled him. And for God's promise of his Spirit is for you, your children, and even for other nations who have lived far from God, for all who the Lord our God chooses and calls to belong to him. Peter warned them at length of the consequences if they refused to repent and pleaded with him, save yourselves from the corruption of the world that is so evident now. Those who responded to this message were baptized, and there was about 3,000 people were added to the church in one day. They then devoted, you imagine the party going up in heaven. Yeah. If there's a party with one person being saved, you imagine what kind of party would be in heaven for 3,000 people being saved. I reckon there must have been a riot in heaven. There must have been, it must have been rip-roaring in heaven on that day when 3,000 people got saved. Verse 42 says, they then devoted themselves, just say devoted. They then devoted themselves to being taught God's word by the apostles and to sharing their lives with one another in love. We call that fellowship. But fellowship is the posh word for giving yourself to someone else. It's a nice word of saying sharing what you have with others and letting them share what they have with you. Sharing our lives with one another in love. They were also committed to the breaking of bread, recalling all that Christ had done for them and to praying together. There was a sense of awe among them because of the miracles and the wonderful works that God performed through the apostles. All the believers lived as members of one body. Amen. So it doesn't matter what happens in the week, even if we might be scattered because we're going to our workplace, we're doing different things in the course of the week, we're always part of the one body. Amen. And when you go out from the church here, you're part of a body. And so there's an anointing that God gives in there's an anointing of grace that comes into the whole body. Hallelujah. And so when you go out, you represent not just yourself, not just the Lord Jesus Christ, but you represent a body. Amen. There's power there.
Yes.
There's power that's flowing in the body. You've come here today in a body. Amen. Hopefully, you're in your body today. You came as a whole body, and Jesus says, that's how I view the church. I view the whole church as my body, and you're a member of the body. So wherever you do, whatever you do, and wherever you go, you're part of the body. And so living a holy life is vital. So if you're doing things behind closed doors that is wrong, and sinful, it'll affect the whole body. If you're doing things that are good and right, that'll affect the whole body too. Because you only have to think how a human body works to realize that that's true in the body of Christ. And that's why the church isn't where the church needs to be today. I'm talking about the whole church. The church is a much higher place that God wants her to occupy. And the Lord said to me the other day when I woke up, he said, occupy. I've called you to occupy. I've called the church to occupy, to keep hold, to lay hold, and to take new territory for me. Occupy until I come, he said. That's using his authority. All the believers lived as members of one body and shared whatever they had with one another. They sold possessions and gave to everyone who was in need. Wow. They continued to come together in the temple courts every day. They also met in one another's homes, sharing the Lord's Supper and eating their meals with glad and thankful hearts. They praised God and were shown favor by everyone. And every day, the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved. I'd say that was a healthy church. Absolutely. I'd say that's a church of faith working through love. I'd say that was a very exciting church to belong to. And the Lord is saying that in these days, he's reproducing in a fresh way, in a new way, the church is going to become like this all over again. And the church is becoming revitalized and renewed by the Holy Spirit's grace and power. And I believe as we give ourselves to the Lord, as we devote ourselves to the Lord himself, and devote ourselves to his word, and devote ourselves to one another, there's nothing he cannot do. You see, in these few verses, from verse 42 to 47, we see a provision of God. There was no limits. The early church had no limits. They had plenty of needs. They had plenty of limits within them, their own selves, but they had the limitless Lord living amongst them. He was literally walking in their midst. He was walking amongst them. And because of this, the outflow was faith that was working through love. And because of that, because of their love for the Lord, their devotion in their personal walk with God, in their love for Jesus and his love for them, their devotion to one another, in sharing their lives together, in having meals together, in opening their homes up to one another, in going the second mile for one another, and that's fellowship, in giving to one another, and in their praying, because they were a praying church, that you couldn't stop them from praying. They were constantly praying, whether it's in small groups or whether it was they were coming together, and you couldn't stop the early church from meeting. It actually says here that they met every day. Well, some of us are able to meet actually a number of times in the week, and that's a real privilege. If you know, for those that are able to do it, that's a blessing. I tell you that we're able to meet with others and pray together in the course of the week, and we do that a number of us. But there's so much more God wants to do. There's so much more He wants to do in us and through us. The church is the richest place on earth. The church has the vastest resource on the earth today. Amen. You know, the church are God's chosen people, his body, to get his job done on the earth. And that's why he's longing to pour out his blessings in the church and through the church. And he'll do it through a people of faith that's working through love. Amen. Hallelujah. Says there was a wonderful sense of awe among them because of the miracles and the wonderful works that God performed through the apostles. These were happening every day. And I'm beginning to pray, Lord, daily. I'm beginning to say, daily, Lord. Let all of these things happen daily in the church. Start with me. You might like to say the same prayer. You may not want to, because there's a cost to this. But I tell you, it's well worth it, because the benefits of what God will pour back into us when we say, Lord, this is how we want to be. This is practical faith working through love. This isn't super spirituality. This is practical faith that works through love. So where there's a need, the need is met supernaturally and practically. That's the kind of church God's called us to be. That's the kind of church that God sees us as becoming. All the members lived as members of one body and shared whatever they had with one another. Do you know, the early church, they didn't break bread in a religious way. They broke bread with their meals, mainly. They would have meetings like we have, and where we sometimes, like we have this morning, broken bread. But do you know that their main time of breaking bread was often in homes with meals? Just like Jesus did when what we call the Last Supper, how he broke the bread before they ate and they drank the cup at the end of the meal. They everything had a focus on remembering what Jesus had done for them by his grace and the victory that he had given to them. And this was a lifestyle for them, that they were constantly breaking bread. There's no law that says we have to do that every time we meet, but it does say that we're to do often. And we can actually choose when we do it, because the Lord always has glory in this. And I want to encourage you this morning to break bread often. I don't break bread often enough. And I've noticed that we can get religious so quickly, get back into a religious pattern. And we don't want to do that. We want to be led by the Spirit, but the Spirit will lead us to break bread and share the cup together, because it's the means of his grace. It's the means of releasing his supernatural life amongst us as a body. And if you have faith that God wants to do that every time we take the bread and drink the cup, it's not that the bread suddenly becomes somehow the actual flesh of Jesus. No, the bread becomes the supernatural life of God and is imparted into you. And the blood the same. The blood of Jesus actually releases that covenant of blessing into our lives. So this is one of these are the four central things for me about the church, that the apostles' doctrine, that's the teaching of God's word and truth, that's here, and begin to live it out. It's prayer, it's fellowship, that's sharing our lives together. And what's the fourth one?
Breaking bread.
And breaking bread, you know, when you hear the term breaking of bread, it's not just communion. It means actually sharing meals together. And in the biblical concept, it was always with a meal, or it would normally be with a meal. That's the thinking, because Jesus always did things around mealtime. And I think we're missing out on a whole lot of stuff because we don't have meals enough together. I'm not talking about necessarily everyone coming together, although there's some other things that God wants to do amongst us. But beginning to put time aside, that this is very, very important. Faith working through love. And I know there's lots of practical things that will immediately sort of spring up in your mind as to reasons why we can't. But you know, God wants us to be, people say, we can. We can make a way for this kind of church to be our kind of church. Do you agree?
Yes.
Every time I read this, I think, as I begin to think about it, I start to think about the obstacles in the way. And God says, get the obstacles out of the way. Make a decision that this is how we're going to be as a church. Just make a full-hearted, stubborn-hearted decision that this is the church that God wants us to be. This is a snapshot of how the early church was. And I know I won't be satisfied until I'm living in the fullness of it. And you won't be either, because there's fullness in this. There's fullness of life, fullness of the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's all stand, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Before we pray together, just remember what we said at the beginning about God meeting our needs. We see in the early church there were no, it actually says there were no needy ones among them. That means not just financially, but financially, practically, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, every need was met. When Christ's love comes, he makes us into a community of love. Without the love of Christ, we could try and arrange and organize everything. That's communism. Trying to arrange communities by force and by order and just organizing everything. But you know, God wants to lead us and guide us. And it's not that God is organized, but he wants to do things in a fresh and a new way amongst us all. Here in Crawley and East Grinstead, and what he's doing with us as a whole body as well. God is wanting to do a fresh new thing. That's why it's like there's a new wineskin that God is making. And he makes a new wineskin for new wine to come. And all he's asking us today is just to be available to him to change whatever he wants to change in your life today. As you stand in his presence this morning, if you can say this to the Lord, I can't say it for you, I can only answer for myself, but just say to the Lord, I'm willing to change. If you want to say that to the Lord, say, I'm willing to change, Lord. teach me your way. Bring me into your order. Bring me into that place that you have for me, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. I give myself afresh to you as a living sacrifice, Lord. It's not just me and you, Lord. It's me and the church. It's me and your body. It's me and this community of faith working through love. And every one of us has a part to play. And just know this today, that God will supply every need that you have. And where it seems impossible, how could we possibly like the early testament, the New Testament, the early church? With all the business of life and work and being scattered and all this kind of stuff, but God says, I can do it. I'll do it. I'll do it in my way. I'll do it in you and through you. And I'll make you a people of faith working through love. And you'll see these same four things begin to be evidenced: the teaching of God's word of faith, the doctrine, the apostolic doctrine, where we know who we are in Christ, we know who he is in us, where we know him. Living in fellowship, sharing our lives together. Giving ourselves in prayer and really enjoying praying to God and praying with one another. Seeing answers to prayer. Seeing effective, fervent prayers. Breaking bread, sharing meals together. No needs would be among us. Every need is met. That's God's vision for us at Kingdom Faith Church. Here. That's his vision for the whole church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'd just like you to get into groups of about four or five. Just get into groups of four or five. Just do it now. And just pray this morning. Just pray. Make us, Lord. Make us this kind of a church. Just pray out some of those things that you've heard about this morning. Lord, make us that kind of people. Start with me, Lord. Start with me, Lord. Give yourself this morning. Devote yourself to the Lord this morning for this to happen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just pray that every need will be met in your group this morning. Just pray every need will be met. Every need shall be met this morning. Things that you have for them, Father. I thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Pour out, pour out, pour out, Lord, pour out, Lord, pour out, Lord, pour out of your love, 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 Lord. This morning, pour out of your love, Lord, pour out of your love, Lord. Just going to end by worshiping Him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you that I'm a man or a woman of faith, working through love. Thank you, Lord, we're a church of faith, working through love. Holy Spirit, I devote myself to Jesus, to glorify the Father, to live this life that we've talked about. Even today, Lord, this week, Lord, Holy Spirit, move in me. Thank you that you're meeting my needs. Thank you for your provision, Lord. Miracles are happening. I release miracles through prayers of faith. Through actions, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just worship the Lord just before we close.
Oh, there is no one else like you.
Yes, Jesus.
Limitless, everything you do.